We are officially embracing the tank. It's time. The New York Giants, the season is basically over. I'm not rooting for wins anymore personally. Alex, I don't know how you feel, but this Giants team has beaten me up too badly for years and years. I want the reward. I want the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow of terror. I want the first overall pick. Yesterday's game was an embarrassment to watch. The Giants didn't even look like an NFL football team. Their offense was an utter disaster, and Mike Kafka has coached his way out of the candidacy for any head coaching gigs this offseason. He has been an absolute train wreck. Jackson Dart has taken serious steps backwards under Mike Kafka. The only player who looked worth a damn in this game yesterday was Brian Burns, and hey, arguably, Carter as well, but an abysmal offense, and the New York Giants lose once again to the Minnesota Vikings as they head into the Week 17 Tank Bowl versus the Las Vegas Raiders. What's up, everybody? I'm Anthony Rivardo. This is Fireside Giants. I'm here with my co-host Alex Wilson. Alex, let's dive right into it and react to yesterday's game. How are you feeling, and how are you embracing the tank?
Man, I am embracing this tank. I'm basically Brad Pitt in Fury right now, man. I live in the tank. This is where I live. We've been living here for years. And right back where we started, man, back to trying to figure out if the Giants are going to get the first overall pick. And after watching the Las Vegas Raiders against the Houston Texans, my goodness, dyslexia kicking in, the Houston Texans yesterday, I don't think the Giants are beating the Raiders, guys. I really don't. I think Ashton Jeanty's putting 100-plus on us and multiple touchdowns. That's kind of how I feel about it. Watching yesterday's game, how the Giants played, they look like a team that is completely just done with the season. They look like a team that's just dying to get out of the regular season, just dying to go on vacation, dying to escape this hellhole. And I don't blame them, man. I don't blame them. The lack of effort is evident. They look like they're not really trying except for select individuals. Like you mentioned, Carter, aside from that offsides call, had a really good game. And then Brian Burns, who had a really good game as well. So, you know, you look at a couple of individual pieces. Yeah, they're still fighting and trying, you know, probably for individual statistics at this rate. But nonetheless, I do think that the Giants they have a one-way ticket to the first overall pick, and there are many people that say, we need to win. It's about culture. It's about pride. Jackson Dart has to win. I understand where you're coming from, but the truth of the matter is those winning one or two of these next games does not change the future. In fact, it doesn't even impact Jackson Dart. You're still a losing football team, and you're still going into an offseason where the entire coaching staff is about to get shredded apart. The general manager's probably going too. There's going to be a whole new front office, whole new coaching staff. What does two culture wins mean if your culture is about to get reset anyway? It doesn't mean anything. In fact, that first overall pick gives a GM and head coach the ability to say, let's move back, still get a blue chip prospect in context with this draft class, and add valuable draft capital for the future to build around your young quarterback and the rest of your team. That opportunity cost of winning games to lose out on that possibility, not worth it. I need that draft capital. I need that leverage. That's what the Chicago Bears did, and look where they are now with Caleb Williams. That team is cooking. So I will say this, the Giants have an opportunity to replicate that. They can't shy away. I know they're not going to tank on purpose, but it's in the best interest of this team as a fan for them to lose. But nonetheless, you mentioned it, Jackson Dart, he seems to be regressing, and I think it's because they're limiting his ability to actually play his game.
Yeah, let me dive into that in a second. I want to kind of touch on some of the other points that you made. First and foremost, next weekend, I'm the biggest Ashton Jeanty fan of all time. Let's go for 200 rushing yards on the day, baby. Let's run the ball next week, Las Vegas Raiders. And I agree with you. The Raiders, they put up a really solid fight against the Houston Texans yesterday. The Giants, they're fighting with teams, but they're fighting with teams like the Vikings now. They're not fighting with teams like the Texans. Like earlier this year, they were fighting with the Broncos. I don't see that same level of fight in the Giants anymore. At times, I do from the defensive side of the ball. Of course, you mentioned it. I think it was Javon Holland had the pick six called back. Paulson Adebo had a pick yesterday. Brian Burns with the fumble forced and the touchdown recovery by Tyler Newbin. There were some standout plays defensively for the New York Giants, but that offense does not have fight anymore. That offense is playing with handcuffs on, which is going to go into the topic that you just brought up, Jackson Dart, the regression that he's undergone ever since the Giants fired head coach Brian Daboll. Now, we knew that was a risk of firing Brian Daboll. We knew that Brian Daboll was getting the most out of Jackson Dart. Brian Daboll was calling offensive games and game plans that were protecting Jackson Dart in a certain way. It just wasn't protecting him in the way that the Giants wanted him protected, which was his physical health. But what Daboll was doing was protecting him by not asking him to play to his weaknesses, by asking him to play to his strengths. And the reality is, Jackson Dart's biggest strength right now is his rushing ability. And if you're not going to play to that, you're not going to win games. And the New York Giants, ever since Jackson Dart had that concussion, have completely taken his legs out of the game plan and have resultingly nuked their offense, nerfed their exciting young rookie quarterback, and stunted his growth and development for the last several weeks of the season. That's why I say, if the kid is good at running, if the kid likes to run, let him run. A lot of Giants fans push back and they say, why risk his health? This is not about the season. This is about the long-term future. This is about his development. And that is directly correlated to the long-term future. How he develops across the rookie season is going to impact how he plays in his second season and his third season. And if you make him afraid to run as a rookie, he's going to be afraid to run in his second season and his third season. The same way the Giants made Daniel Jones afraid to turn the ball over after his first season when he turned the ball over so many times. The next year, they brought in a new coach, which was Jason Garrett, and he made Daniel Jones the most conservative quarterback you've ever watched in your life. And that stuck with him for years. The same thing is happening right now with Jackson Dart. He was running the ball a lot. He was running into contact. The Giants said, no more. Now they're making him a quarterback who's not allowed to run, and he's not allowed to hit face contact. That's going to hurt him, not just this year, but it's going to hurt him next year. You just have to teach him the right way to run. You have to teach him to pick and choose his battles, and that comes down to coaching. And that comes down to respecting the coaching staff. But this Giants team clearly does not respect its current coaching staff. And Jackson Dart, I can't really blame him if he doesn't want to listen to Mike Kafka, especially after seeing the way Kafka tries to hype up the team during those midweek kind of breakdowns. I mean, I just think that what Kafka did yesterday was honestly one of the most disgusting displays of offense that I've ever seen. It was arguably the most poorly coached offensive game plan that I've ever seen from the New York Giants, and that's saying something. That says quite a lot. Running the ball constantly on first down and second down. So now on third down, when Brian Flores' defense is as elite as ever getting after the quarterback, that's when you're asking Jackson Dart to throw the ball. It made no sense to me, Alex. I want to hear your take and breakdown on it. But bottom line for me is, I thought this kid was making a lot of progress week to week, getting better throughout the first half of the season. Ever since the firing of Brian Daboll, it feels to me like Mike Kafka has stripped the playbook down and put handcuffs on the rookie quarterback, and it's been very difficult and frustrating to watch.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I have a theory. I don't know if it's fact, but I have a theory that management, or really ownership, basically told Kafka, you cannot put him in danger anymore. We can't risk long-term injury. It's a theory. I don't know if it's true. Regardless, the kind of inept mentality by Kafka, and when I say that, I mean, if you're going to run the football 15 straight times to open a game, if you're going to really just lean on the run game the entire time, and it was working at times, no doubt, but the season is over. The season is now about Jackson Dart's development. If your game plan is to not put him in harm's way, you don't have to run him, but at least let him throw the ball. I don't care if he has 35, 40 attempts through the air, right? I just need film. I need to see, how did he react? How did he go through his progressions? How did he understand Brian Flores' system and scheme? Was he able to decipher it? Was he able to pick it apart? Was he have some good throws? Does he have some bad throws? I don't care if he throws four interceptions, man. This is no longer about Jackson Dart, you know, just standing around out there. This is about his development and growth. And Mike Kafka, what he put out there yesterday was a white flag. He waved a white flag yesterday. He said, we're either going to win this game on the ground scoring 13, 14 points, or we're going to lose. And he put the entire load on his defense to step up and make something happen. And the defense played pretty well for the most part. I mean, they had good and bad moments. Obviously, the Vikings, they lost all their running backs in the first quarter. Aaron Jones comes back in later on in the game. I mean, J.J. McCarthy gets hurt in the first half, and like, he's out for the rest of the game. They have Brosmer playing. Like, it was bad for them. They had a couple drops. The Naylor drop was literally right into Paulson Adebo's freaking chest. But also, Jackson Dart can't buy a piece of playmaking from his talent, man. Theo Johnson dropped multiple passes, the interception right through his hands. The commentator, I forget who it was, Jonathan Vilma, saying that was on Jackson Dart, bro.
Get out of here.
This is a catch, bro. This is not it. That does not result in interception. Theo Johnson has these games. I know. Theo Johnson has games where he looks like he is going to be an all-pro tight end, and then other games where he looks like he's not a tight end or not an NFL talent. It's the craziest volatility I've ever seen. Not to mention Darius Slayton, bro. I'm going to tell you what I tweeted yesterday. They should have included a clause in his contract where he has to donate $1 million back to the freaking team, refund the team $1 million for every drop. He'd owe the freaking team money, brother. This is getting out of hand. Like, the Giants go and they draft a receiver in the first round next year, Tate, Tyson, whoever, Darius Slayton is going to be WR3, and I could not be happier. I could not be happier to watch him rot on the bench for a year until we cut him, because this dude was paid to come in and be a stabilizing veteran, and all he's done is drop big passes all year long. Drop big passes. He's probably dropped 300 yards and multiple touchdowns worth of passes this season. That is egregious levels of malpractice. In fact, if I was the new GM, I would be begging another team to acquire him from us. I would be trying to trade him at all costs this offseason, because that contract is a freaking eyesore right now.
I would argue the Giants should trade Darius Slayton and a sixth round pick for a seventh round pick. Just get rid of the contract.
Yes, just get rid of him. The contract,
move
man.
Back in the draft just to get rid of Darius Slayton. I mean, we've seen trades like that before where teams are just dumping contracts off their books. I would argue the Giants should consider doing that for Darius Slayton, because he's a liability
at
this point.
I
have been the biggest Darius Slayton defender in the past. I've given him nothing but praise, but this season I can't do it anymore. What he's done this year is just it's been very disappointing to watch. He has taken such a significant regression. I mean, that drop yesterday was one of the most egregious drops that I've ever seen in my life. That could have been a walk-in electric touchdown. That could have been a signature moment for the Giants offense this season, for Jackson Dart in his rookie season. Instead, it goes down as an incompletion on a wide open dropped pass. He looked, I know you tweeted it, he looked like he had feet for hands on that play. He looked like he didn't know how to catch a football. And there are several plays throughout the course of every single season where Darius Slayton looks like he forgets how to catch a football. He starts catching it with his body. He starts clapping at the ball. He doesn't look like an NFL receiver. And it's so strange. I don't know if it's a confidence thing. His confidence is shot. I don't know what it is, but the Giants can't keep dealing with it. You've got to get rid of that player because he's a liability and he's hurting the offense. I'd rather be giving those reps, Alex, to Isaiah Hodgins. I'd rather him be that WR1 on this offense right now. I'd rather be giving those reps to Lil Jordan Humphrey. Oh, wait, they can't, because they let Lil Jordan Humphrey join the Denver Broncos off their practice squad because they refused to cut Jalen Hyatt, who's doing nothing. He was healthy scratched again yesterday. It's not just a coaching thing. It's not just a player thing. It's a front office thing. It's an entire organizational issue. And that's why Jackson Dart is dealing with such poor playmaking talent around him. And I'll call on you because I saw you get excited there and throw your hand up. So what do you have?
Okay. Game plan. I know how to fix the Giants offense.
Let me hear it.
Okay. We do what you said. I'm willing to give up some draft picks or a draft pick just to get rid of Darius Slayton.
Key piece of info here. The reason I said give away a sixth-round draft pick, the Giants have 3 sixth-round draft picks in this upcoming draft.
I would give up 2 sixth-round draft picks because I don't even care about those, because we're going to trade back at the first overall pick anyway and get mad draft capital. So I'd give 2 sixth-round picks just to get Darius Slayton off of my team, just so I can give his contract money to Wandale Robinson, and we can still draft a receiver. If you walk into next year with Wandale, Neighbors, and Tate or Tyson, we're good. Like, that is a very, very good young core, and you have Wandale, who has been one of the most, you know, positive silver linings on this team this season, and you reward him for that stability because he is a stabilizing factor and not Slayton. I would get rid of Slayton's contract and give that money to Wandale. It'll basically be a wash, maybe a couple million extra to Wandale. Easy yes for me.
I would too. I totally agree with that. I think it'd be a little bit more than a couple million. I think Wandale is going to get paid seriously this offseason, but I'll add in this detail. If you do trade Darius Slayton this offseason, you get $10 million in 2026 cap savings. He only carries a $6 million dead cap hit if he's traded. Now, if he's released, you only get $250,000 in cap savings. You get basically nothing. But if you trade him, $10 million freed up on your books. That can be directly invested, like you said, right into Wandale Robinson's contract or some other wide receiver. Doesn't matter. But I am absolutely, Alex, if it comes down to sacrificing a sixth round pick, for example, to get that $10 million in cap savings, yeah, goodbye to that sixth round pick. Goodbye to another Darius Masua. I can sacrifice a Darius Masua to get Darius Slayton's contract off my books.
With ease. Like that is... I think that's a pretty damn good plan, to be honest. Like, I actually think that's something that's a realistic opportunity for the Giants. Like, a team will see Darius Slayton and say he was stuck in a bad system. He didn't have consistent quarterback play. Obviously, they were cycling through in the beginning of the year. He had some drops. You know, a change of scenery might be good for Darius Slayton. And another team might take a gamble on that. You know, another team might see an opportunity to gamble on that, and they get draft picks to do it. So it's like, yeah, why not?
A team like the Patriots, for example, they have a boatload of cap space. They have a good enough offense, but could they use more playmakers? Well. Absolutely. And Slayton could be a good WR2 or 3 for them, and they're only giving up. They're not even giving up draft capital. They're gaining draft capital, but they have so much cap space that it wouldn't even hurt them in the slightest to take on that contract. So I don't know. I think I cooked with that one. Guys, let us know down below. Would you make that trade? Darius Slayton plus a sixth for a seventh round draft pick. Would you make that trade to get Darius Slayton's contract off the books? If you say no, you're crazy and you have to argue your opinion down below, because I think that's an easy one. You accept that 10 out of 10 times if you're the Giants.
If that leads to bringing back Wandale Robinson and that's the trade-off, Slayton plus a sixth round pick to bring back Wandale at a price that's a couple, maybe $4 million more per season, I'm pulling that trigger every single time without hesitating. And like, that's an easy one for me.
Yeah, let's flip over the defensive side of the ball, though, Alex, from yesterday's game. I want to talk about Abdul Carter, because I think the Abdul Carter experience this season has been a roller coaster. And I think yesterday was a perfect example of that. So let's talk about the good. The spin move that he put on that poor center for that sack was disgusting. That was one of the best pass rushing moves that I've seen from any Giants player in years. And that just highlighted to me how special his potential is. Abdul Carter, if he starts getting himself on track and he starts playing, and for the record, he has 3 sacks in 3 games. He has a sack in 3 straight games. He is playing at a really high level right now. If this becomes consistent, he has the potential, like we all knew, to be one of the best pass rushers in the entire sport. The way he moves, his twitchiness, his ability to rush with a plan, and just use his athleticism to straight up beat opposing offensive linemen and close in on the quarterback, he can be special. But again, he needs to stop getting in his own way. He got in his own way 4 weeks with the missed meetings. He got benched a couple times as a result, right? We all know that story. But then this week, in yesterday's game, offsides negating a pick six. That is a crushing blow, and it's just one of those moments, again, where it highlights the roller coaster effect of the Abdul Carter season. But all in all, Alex, I walk away from yesterday's game positive, because the pick six got negated. Giants lost as a result, one step closer to the number one overall pick. So actually, thank you, Abdul Carter, and also Abdul Carter's sick pass rushing move on that sack. That was awesome. So I actually walk away from that positive, but I do want to hear your take on the Abdul Carter sack and on the Abdul Carter penalty.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the penalty's like, you can't do that. In a big game, if that happens, you're getting absolutely destroyed by the media and probably your teammates too. Like, that's inexcusable. However, from like a 50,000 feet perspective, probably the best thing he could have done this season was be offside on that play. Like, from a God perspective, like, he was like offside first overall pick. Like, that's, that literally determined potentially the Giants' future if they lose to the Raiders, right? Like, that would have been a massive small moment that defines whether or not the Giants get to execute all these plans they want to execute and, you know, get more draft capital and allocate whatever. But Abdul Carter, the last 2 weeks, that's the player we drafted. Outside of that penalty, that is the player we drafted. Charlie Bowen, and I'll tell you this, Carter said it after the game, Charlie Bowen's been maximizing him, putting him in opportunities to rush the passer, do his best. That play, after he caused that penalty, he created a sack. Like, he came back and made it something happen immediately after. He has the ability to wreck games. He is a rookie. This, if he adds some mass and he gets good habits in place, study habits, you know, timing, you know, getting to meetings early, leaving late, doing all that stuff like pros do, he is going to be one of the best players on this football team. And it will be easily said, like, he could be the best player on this football team. You know, I think that there is a special, special talent under the hood there, and we're starting to see cracks of it, starting to see flashes. If he puts it all together, you get a good defensive coordinator that he trusts, he believes in, that can maximize him, whoever that might be, a Halfley or a Shula, whatever, Abdul Carter, if he buys in, it is going to be a special 2026 season for him, and everybody else is going to benefit. The secondary, the linebackers, the other pass rushers, it'll be a special, special year. But ultimately, as it always does, Anthony, it boils down to the coaching hires, and that is what's going to define and decide the Giants' future.
Coaching is everything for this team, and I think that's the number one lesson that we've learned this season, because there is talent, right? Abdul Carter flashing this talent now over these final few weeks. Where was this all season long? Why wasn't it flashing consistently? Because coaching wasn't maximizing the talent. Jackson Dart was playing really well under Dable. Jackson Dart playing poorly under Mike Kafka. There's a coaching change and a coaching difference that's affecting the players. And I think we see that all across this team, just coaching being unable to maximize the talent. And even unable to maximize the characters of these players as well, because I think that Abdul Carter, he was reportedly slacking off, missing meetings and all of these things. And what that reflected to me was a lack of respect towards the coaching staff. He didn't have respect. He didn't want to be first one in, first one out, because the coaching staff wasn't garnering his respect and earning his respect. But now that the media got to him and the media told him, you got to start doing these things, you know, and the fans got really loud about it, he has been kind of, you know, fighting and putting in that extra work, and it's showing up on the field. So him, Brian Burns, has looked incredible all season long. He's got 15 sacks, Alex. It's the most since Jason Pierre-Paul. It's been a very long time since the Giants have enjoyed a defensive season of this caliber from an individual player. So hats off to Spider-Man, Brian Burns, Abdul Carter playing well, and honestly, Javon Holland, Paulson Adebo, they did make some plays yesterday. Of course, one of them got negated by a penalty. Tyler Newbin as well made a play. I actually thought the defense played quite impressively. It was against a bad Vikings offense with nine got hurt. They had a backup quarterback in. Aaron Jones got hurt. They had a lot of injuries, but even still, I was impressed with the defense. I just don't think I can watch this Giants offense anymore. It is so difficult. It's like watching paint dry. But next week, I hope it dries even slower, and I hope the Raiders find a way to win. And I know some fans, Alex, are probably going to be upset with us for saying this, but I'm at the point where, like, for years and years, I've been rooting for Giants wins in lost seasons. We've gotten nothing out of it, and I honestly just think the idea of having the first overall pick would be cool. I've never seen it in my lifetime. I've seen a lot of Giants losses in my lifetime over and over again. I want to see the number one overall pick. I think it would be really exciting to have the first overall pick. That is a potential franchise-altering commodity. That is the most valuable asset in the entire sport, is the first overall pick. I want to see the Giants have that. You know, for better or for worse, I want to see them wind up with that number one overall pick. That's just me personally. So I'll let you give your take on that too. To anybody who's maybe anti-tank, I'm pro-tank at this point. You guys know, if you've been watching for a while, in years past, I was anti-tank, and maybe I should have been pro-tank. I like where the Giants are right now, but I do think the one final piece that they need, other than a new coach, is that number one overall pick and the ability to just trade away for all of those assets and rebuild this roster overnight. I think that it really is a treasure chest waiting for the New York Giants, and I don't want to see them mess it up and hand it over to the Las Vegas Raiders. That's me personally. But Alex, you know, what's your take on any fans who maybe are anti-tank at this point in the season?
Any fans that are anti-tank right now, let me just paint a picture for you. Giants, right now the New York Jets are the fourth overall pick in the draft, okay? The Giants are right now the first. If that sticks, if it stays Jets 4 and Giants 1, the Jets are going to have to give us two first-round picks, right? They're going to have to give us one this year, and they're going to have to give us one next year, in 2027, 2026. So you're going to get two first-round picks on top of getting, well, I guess you could say you're going to get the fourth overall pick. You're probably going to get, how many first round picks they have this year? In 2026, they have another one from the Colts, right?
They have two. Yep, they have the Colts for the Sauce Gardner trade as well.
You're probably going to get from them the first overall pick and fourth overall, the Colts one, and a 2027 first overall pick. And you might even get more. Like, that's what it's going to cost to get Fernando Mendoza. And a lot of teams want him. A lot of teams are going to want him. So if the Jets want him, they're going to have to sell pretty much everything they just got for Quinnen Williams and, of course, Sauce Gardner to get him. And the Giants are going to get to go back to four. And the cool thing about four, Anthony, is they can move back again. They could move back again from four to five or six or seven. And they could get another first-round pick or another second-round pick or another first-round pick in 2027. They could do a double hop back, add a stupendous amount of draft capital, which, by the way, doesn't only have to be used to acquire young talent. They could trade a first-round pick to get a proven piece. If they feel at the deadline they could use a star cornerback or a star this or whatever, like one last piece of the puzzle to really help push them along, they have a tremendous amount of assets to utilize at their disposal. So you could be a GM, a head coach, you know, new for the Giants, have the ability to literally build on top of some already core pieces. But Joe Shane, I mean, you look at what the Giants have. The first GM, you know, I guess the question to ask is this. Would another team look at Joe Shane and say, yeah, I need that guy? Absolutely not. So why would the Giants be thinking that? Joe Shane is a dead man walking as far as I'm concerned. Listen, I do think that it's GG's for him.
Last year, the New York Giants, under Joe Shane's leadership, set a franchise record 10-game losing streak. Right now, they're on a 9-game losing streak. If they lose these next two games, they will set another franchise record for the longest losing streak in franchise history. That tells you everything you need to know. Fireable offenses over and over again. It's done. It's over with. You got to move on. Somebody else can do a better job with this roster. I totally believe that. And you know what? Somebody will hire a better coaching staff. I think that's the missing element to this. Joe Shane failed in hiring the right head coach the first time around. I don't trust him to get it right the second time around. I want somebody new to be making this decision. And honestly, I think it's a moot point because it's a done deal. There's no way the Giants are justifying bringing back Joe Shane at this point. It's all but done. It's a foregone conclusion. He will be fired on Black Monday. I think that much is certain. And you know what? Next week, they lose to the Las Vegas Raiders. I wouldn't be shocked if they just fire him a week early. Might as well. What's the difference? But probably Black Monday, we're going to find out that the Giants are starting a new GM search. And then let's see who it is. I did that breakdown episode a couple days ago. If you guys missed that, on Ian Cunningham, he's right now my personal favorite GM candidate. Go check that out. And definitely we'll be having breakdowns and insights and info on all of the other GM candidates that we find here on Fireside Giants as well. But yeah, Alex, I think it's a foregone conclusion. Joe Shane, he's done.
Yeah, I mean, look, he hasn't interviewed any head coaching candidates yet, and he absolutely could be right now. Like, there is nothing stopping him from interviewing Mike McCarthy, right? Like, why not? I think the pretty big, glaring, obvious point I'm going to make is that Joe Shane literally told us to our faces that he was not the one that decided to fire Brian Daboll, right? That was ownership's decision. So why on earth would ownership let him decide the next head coach or interview the next head coaches if he wouldn't even let, if they stepped over him to fire the previous head coach? You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't even involved in the process. Why would they let him do that? So right now, as far as I'm concerned, his entire job is revolving around gathering information to give to the guys that are going to be leftovers, the McDonald's of the world, you know, obviously the Maras and whatever. Like, his only job right now is to gather intel and just give it to them, because that's all they need him for. There is no decision-making coming from Joe Shane. There's barely even roster moves coming from Joe Shane. He's basically just revolving kickers at this point. That's his job. That is what his job is boiled down to, revolving kickers. Embarrassing, to say the least. And I think that, you know, he's done. It's just a matter of time. And ultimately, the Giants having the first overall pick, it changes everything for their future. It changes everything for their next GM. It changes everything for their next head coach and what this team is going to look like and how they're going to retool. I think a strategic rebuild is in place, is certainly going to be happening. But, you know, what a strategic rebuild looks like, you know, we'll find out. And, you know, we talk about guys we want to keep. I would be willing to bet a good chunk of those guys, unless we knock those hires out of the park and, like, everybody loves them, we're going to lose some players in free agency because they just simply want to go to better teams. I think that there's a big risk Wandale does that. I think Dane Belton's probably gone, even though I would like to bring him back. He's a very good special teams player. I think a good team that wants to spend a little money is going to go get him. Good depth safety, really good special teams player. He'll go sign with, like, the Jags or something and, like, be a really good ball player for them. So it's like, you know, the Giants just aren't, money talks in free agency, but, you know, end of the day, they have a lot of needs, and the draft picks are really going to be the saving grace for them. So they need that first overall pick. I think that's objectively true. We've gone down this path already, Anthony. What is this, the fourth or fifth time we've had this discussion over the years? Like,
yeah,
every single time this happens, and we know how the story goes when we win those extra games. Losers, no matter what.
And the difference is, like, I'm very happy with the way that it shook out for the Giants last year. Of course, they ended up with Abdul Carter and Jackson Dart, and I'm thrilled about that. You know, the year prior, they ended up with Malik Nabers. I love Malik Nabers. That's awesome. But there's a difference between getting Malik Nabers at sixth overall or trading down from first overall to sixth overall, getting Malik Nabers an extra first-round pick, an extra second-round pick, and a future first-round pick. You get what I'm saying? So that's what the Giants could get this season. They don't have to just settle on taking Abdul Carter or taking Malik Nabers or whoever the equivalent is this year. This year, they can trade it down, get that star player, and get extra starting level players to fill out the rest of the roster. And that's why I want them picking first overall, because I don't want them drafting Fernando Mendoza. I believe in Jackson Dart. I'm a huge Jackson Dart fan, and everybody knows that I have been a huge Jackson Dart fan on this channel since January. So all year long, I've been pushing for Jackson Dart to the Giants. I've been pushing Jackson Dart as next QB1 of the league. I love Jackson Dart. So I don't want Fernando Mendoza. That's not why I want the first overall pick. I want the first overall pick because I want to fleece a team that's desperate for Fernando Mendoza. And that's what the Giants could potentially get if they lose next Sunday afternoon to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, and a lot on top of that, it's not usual that rookie quarterbacks have great first seasons. So Fernando Mendoza coming out of Indiana could struggle with the Jets as a rookie, and the Giants would have their first round pick in 2027. And that draft class is expected to be just chock full of talent. So that's where you want to be if you're the Giants. You want to have those picks. You want to have that Jets first round pick. It's going to be so valuable.
It's actually crazy, but this is a possible outcome here. And I'll say that it's possible because we've seen it before. 2023, Chicago Bears trade down. They ended up with the first overall pick the following year. That was not their pick. That was the Carolina Panthers draft pick. So I've said this before, as much as I believe in Jackson Dart, if you trade down this year and give Jackson Dart another year to prove himself, and you get that 2027 first round pick from the Jets, that's insurance. Where just in case Jackson Dart doesn't look great in 2026, you might have insurance in 2027 to potentially draft a quarterback again if Jackson Dart plays poorly this year. And then you reboot. But you got to give, in my opinion, Jackson Dart another year with a legitimate amount of talent around him, with a legitimate 100%. Coaching staff running this team, and a real general manager calling the shots. You give Jackson Dart that season in 2026, and if he flames out, okay, that's fine. But now in 2027, you already have an extra draft pick. You've got all the capital you need, and that's because you traded down from first overall in 2026 rather than forcing back-to-back quarterback picks. Take one in 2027 if you have to, but ideal scenario, Alex, Jackson Dart looks great in 2026, and you go into 2027 with a top 10 pick that you got from the Jets and a late pick because you won games this past year with Jackson Dart, and now you're just adding even more talent, and you could trade down again in 2027 with that pick that you got from the Jets and just keep stacking this roster. So again, getting Eagles that first overall pick this year, it would be the absolute cheat code. That's what I'm saying. We really need to lose next Sunday versus the Raiders. I've never been this pro-tank before. I really haven't, because I think even people know that season, what was that, 2024 NFL draft when Drake May came out. Everybody knew I was the biggest Drake May fan. I wanted him so bad. I was willing to sacrifice draft capital, trade up for Drake May. I wasn't pro-tank that season. Maybe I should have been. Whatever. Now I am pro-tank. I'm sick and tired of it. Get the first overall pick locked up next week. Go ahead and walk into April. Fleece the Jets. And set your franchise up for literally 5 years of roster building and success. That's what I want to see. So I'll let you close with any final thoughts, Alex. But like I said, at this point, I'm as pro tank as I've ever been.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Giants are going to reset completely. It's going to be a big culture change. It's going to be a big front office change. The Dable Shane era is coming to an end, and as it started, it's ending. The Giants expended a significant amount of capital to make this team good. And whether it was draft picks, whether it was money, whether it was coaching, paying coaches, they did it. They basically spent every single piece of asset they had. And they failed miserably. And you can't give Shane another chance to fix his mistake that he's made 15 times already. So, I just think right now the Giants are positioned really, really well. They are positioned like the Bears to do something quite expansive in terms of adding draft resources to their equation, protecting their bill down the line. Like, they're gonna have so much money to spend in 2026 and or rather 2027. Like, you have that much draft capital and that much money, you're gonna be able to literally overhaul the weakest parts of your team. And that is a really, and plus our plan to trade Darius Slayton for plus a 6th round pick and bring back Wandale Robinson. They should just hire us, man. We could do this. I mean, it'd be really hard to do it worse than Joe. I'll tell you that. It'd be like genuinely hard. You'd have to try. It'd be like answering every question in the SAT wrong. That's exactly how hard it would be. It's like, it's disappointing, honestly, to be at this point again. But at the very least, it's going to be a complete reset with potentially the first overall pick, and you have your quarterback. That might be the most optimistic I could be about it. But again, I've been battered and bruised so many times mentally. I feel like I need to see it to believe it. On paper, it looks really good. It looks really awesome and exciting and optimistic. In reality, I'm just afraid ownership is going to blow it again with the hires and not bring in the proper personnel to make these decisions. So I really need to wait and see before I claim excitement. But there is hopefully light at the end of the tunnel.
I hope so. And this is the brightest that light at the end of the tunnel has ever looked to me personally. So
I agree
hopefully
with
we
you.
Get there.
I'm still scared.
Yeah, like we've got somebody that I think is a franchise quarterback, and we have the potential opportunity to trade down from first overall and get a boatload of assets to build around that franchise quarterback. That's what the Bears had. They made the most of it. Can the Giants make the most of it? We'll see. But you got to get through the rest of the season first and then see where we are picking and who's coaching. And of course, we'll break all of that down here on Fireside Giants. And honestly, Alex, the more we were talking about it, I like what you said there. We could do a better job. We should be hired. That's why we got to get back into doing our Madden Rebuild series. So stay tuned to that because we are going to have another episode of the Madden Rebuild up sometime this week. It's going to be crazy over the next few days, of course, the holidays. You know, happy holidays to everybody. Merry Christmas. As we get into Christmas in just a couple days here, we'll have some content going up on the channel throughout the week. Probably just pre-recorded, maybe some Madden stuff for your enjoyment. But let us know what you want to see and any feedback that you have, any video requests, all those topics, everything you want down below in the comment section. Do make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe if you're new and ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. And if you're listening to Apple or Spotify, make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Go ahead and follow us on all our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go New York Giants. Tank, tank, tank.
Perfect.